ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, February 11th, 2020. Big day today, Dwayne. Busy, busy day here on Soccer Today and on SBN later today. Right after the Ottawa press conference, Dwayne and I will go live to talk about the press conference in Ottawa joining the Canadian Premier League. But this morning, Dwayne, I wonder what we're going to talk about. It's a slow news day, I guess. And wait, it's not. Yeah, Piatti is gone. Piatti, parti.
He is gone. I was going to make a joke about we're going to, you know, break down the Raheem Edwards move to Minnesota, but maybe we'll save that for another show.
Sure.
Good luck to Raheem. Let's hope he finds plenty of time there. There's my analysis. Anyway, yeah, Piatti, the made official. Look, this is not news at this point in terms of that's surprising anyone, because obviously the story had been breaking over, well, since Friday, right? So it was made official last night, again, late. And this time the key difference was that after it became official in the Argentina areas, the Impact also followed suit with their own Marci Nacho tweets that went out, right? So that's kind of was the gist of it. I guess Kevin's the expert on Nacho here. He's the one closest to it, the one most emotionally invested in this. So I will take an unusual stance of taking the lead here today and instead kind of ask some Kevin some questions about Nacho Piatti's time in Montreal. Let's go back to the start, Kevin. When you first remembered Nacho coming on, do you remember what the excitement was for this player? Do you think that Montreal fans knew what they were getting when he first came?
They didn't. No, they knew he was a good player coming from Argentina that did propel his club to a Copa Libertadores and a league title also the year prior in his 2 years with San Lorenzo, 2012 to 2014. So we knew that a good player was coming, but it's not like there was an army of fans waiting for him at the airport. There was some, but you can name them and then never mind count them. So there was that aspect. But there was some excitement. There was a player coming into a DP in 2014, the post-Devallo era. He was the heir apparent to Marco Devallo in the face of this club, and things changed really quickly then after when also Didi Drogba came. But before that, Nacho Piatti was the one chosen to be the single DP at the Montreal Impact, of course, at that moment, to continue the journey and the success that Marco Devallo had in Major League Soccer. And looking at Nacho Piatti now, looking at his success and the most amount of starts in MLS for the Montreal Impact, and of course, the best scorer for the Montreal Impact in their history in Major League Soccer, Nacho Piatti had a best time of his career. The longest stint for any club he played for was with the Montreal Impact. But no, Dwayne, the fans, and even I would say the Montreal Impact, did not know what they were getting, at least to this great extent, when Montreal Impact signed Nacho Piatti back in 2014.
When you look at Piatti's history as a player, obviously you see the talent, but you look at his stints elsewhere. And as you mentioned, other than San Lorenzo, he's never really felt at home anywhere other than Montreal. He's moved a lot. He's failed to sort of jump or to stick in a way that you would expect. His two stints in Europe didn't go as well as he would have liked. I don't think that was a talent deficit. It probably was a bit of a comfort thing for him. Clearly, he's a guy that feels comfortable in certain places, and he wanted to go back to San Lorenzo for a while because it's home to him, right? And I think that's key. So this is a difficult question to answer because you can't read his mind, but what do you think it was about Montreal that allowed him to be successful, to be as successful as he was?
A certain amount of anonymity, I would say, that does come with the territory of coming to play Major League Soccer. In San Lorenzo, yes, it's a big club. It's a big club in Argentina. It's very important in San Lorenzo. Heck, the Pope He's a fan of San Lorenzo.
Club, yeah.
So it's the Pope's club. Granted, it wasn't the case when they all started. But yeah, so it's a club that has a lot of sentiment. And it's a club that has a relationship with the fans that's pretty open. And there's an exchange of love there. And there might be similarities towards that with the Montreal Impact and their fans. Sometimes it's for really positive things. And sometimes, you know, the line between love and hate, we all know, is not that big. And generated with the same emotion. It's love or the fear of losing that love. So you do have that same passion, I think, with the club. So that's one thing. I think also the comfort level of how much money you make in MLS versus Argentina for the same level of play or having the talent that Nacho has. He was able to be a bit more influential in the results and become a superstar in this league, which I think he would have continued to be a good player in Argentina, but maybe not the best player of his own team, never mind one of the best of the league. So becoming a superstar must have been an attraction in itself. The money-making, at the beginning, he was closer to a $1 million a year, if not a bit lower than that, actually, if I remember correctly. The DP threshold at that moment was around $500,000, a little higher than that, but around that. So he was not making to the level of last year as $5 million, and he was injured all last year. There's the aspect of making money, setting yourself up for the rest of your life, having a certain amount of anonymity in the city. Yes, you'll be a superstar in the way that the team will portray you, where if you go where fans are, you're going to be recognized. At some point, you're going to be recognized in the city. But if you put a toque on and some glasses and you walk down Saint-Denis, no one's going to bother you. It's not like Cristiano Ronaldo walking anywhere in the world. So you have a certain amount of anonymity here in Montreal and North America when it comes to soccer superstars. So I think it's a little combination of all these factors that made Nacho feel at home in Montreal. And also, I would say the way that not only the fans, but the warmth of the people, which is a characteristic of Argentinian people, Latino people also. I don't want to generalize and categorize here, but from my experience, and it seems like there's a correlation here and there. So I think it's a little contribution to all these factors together, making Nacho feeling at home in Montreal and why he stayed here 5 years and became a superstar in Major League Soccer.
You mentioned the privacy. Nacho Piatti was one of the few players in the Major League Soccer Players Association that didn't actually allow his full salary to ever be released. We always just had the minimum DP level was all that was ever listed on the salary disclosure. And that was partly, I think, a privacy issue for him. So I think there's probably something to the fact that Montreal and the anonymity that it provided him was key, Kevin.
Well, now that maybe we can say it now, it was known behind the scenes that he was making more than what the Players Association would be saying. And the reasoning behind it was because his family was still in Argentina. So there was always that aspect of, yeah, they were in Montreal some since and going back. But officially, his family stayed in Argentina for the most part of his stay with the Montreal Impact, especially recently when she gave birth just a couple months ago, a two-month-old baby for Nacho Piatti and a 17-month-old baby also for Nacho Piatti. So that's the reasoning behind it, is wanting to go back to Argentina to be with his family and his two young kids, children. So the fact that he wanted his salary not to be known is because he's not there to be with his family. His family could be exposed, and in some places in South America, depending on where and depending on which gangs or which organized crime, if they know you make a big salary, there's a history of kidnapping happening in South America. So it was always a thought in his back of his mind that was rumored to be what generated his motivation to not have his full salary being public. So that was the thought behind it over the years, that people assumed, and also that it was hinted here and there. So it does make sense when you think about it also.
Looking at his numbers, I called him when the rumor broke last Friday. I mean, it was pretty much done once that photo came out. Old as it might have been, it was still the pretty solid evidence that he was going.
A president of a club would not expose himself to a libel suit, a lawsuit, by saying welcome to a club if you knew it wasn't going to get done. It's that simple. So
yeah. So at that point, I tweeted out that he was the most underrated player in MLS history. And it's very rare, Kevin, when I make a statement that sort of black and white, that I get such uniform approval for it. I'm not talking about myself here, but in general, that's just an internet thing, right? Like, if you say a black and white thing, you'll have people pushing back against it. And although there were one or two that argued with me, it was 98% in acceptance that Nachapati was arguably the most underrated player in Major League Soccer history. There's probably some recency bias with that. I appreciate, even I wasn't really watching the league in the 90s, so I don't know exactly back then. You'll have to
Who was? Let's be honest. But yeah.
Yeah. But this is a guy that, Kevin, he's a 1-2 player.
Yeah.
He scored a goal every other goal a game. That is an insane score or goal rate. Like, that is higher than you. That's elite level in any league when you're scoring 1-2. He was a 1-3 player in Argentina. It's probably a reflection of the league difference, but nonetheless, that's an insane scoring rate, particularly for not someone who's not a pure out and out nine.
Yeah.
He's more of a wing player. Well, he is a wing player.
Depending.
I guess my question with this is that, you know, first off, do you agree with me? I suspect you might, but do you agree that he's the most underrated player in MLS history, or one of anyway?
He's one of the most underrated player in MLS history. Maybe the most underappreciated designated player in MLS history, I think, is an important nuance to it. You mentioned 1-2, yeah. 135 games played for the Impact, 66 goals. That's through all competition from the league, MLS, to, of course, the playoffs, to the Canadian Championship, and, of course, the CONCACAF Champions League. So, to me, he is very underrated. It's 1-2, yeah, goals-wise, close to, but it's also the assist rate. Assist is similar to his goal-scoring rate, just like it's an assist every 2.2 games, I believe. So, not only does he score goals at the same rate as what you demand of a striker in a successful league, but also he helps his teammates score by assisting at the same rate or close to it. The same rate you want your best creative midfielder to play it is about 15 to 20 assists in a successful season. That's what Nacho Piatti gave you, as well as 15 to 20 goals every season almost. So, yeah, you're talking about a production rate that is consistent. When he was playing, he got injured a few times, and he needed help. But at some point, if you go back in history and look who was playing with him in the CONCACAF Champions League final, yeah, De La Duca. Yeah, you'll find the Cameron Porters. You'll find the, yeah, no offense to De La Duca. I'll take him on my team any day with his work rate. But that's what I'm saying. Nigel Rio-Cocker. Yeah, exactly. So, no, Nacho Piatti is the most underrated designated player and underappreciated designated player in Major League Soccer history, at least since the designated player rule in 2008.
Later on, I might start a debate that's going to cause some true scruffling of the feathers when I ask whether he's the best DP in Canadian history. There's going to be a very interesting battle between the two great rivals with that one, I would suspect. But I think the point what I'm making with that is you can make the argument that Piatti was as valuable, if not more valuable, than Giovinco. You can also make the argument the other way. But it's an interesting discussion. The fact that people wouldn't necessarily think that off the top of their head, because Giovinco had much more attention, underlines my point of the underratedness, right?
Sorry to interrupt. There's also something to be said, as Nacho Piatti was maybe the only constant with the Montreal Impact through different eras of the club, from the Frank Lopez days to the Mauro Biello to the Remy Gard to barely with the Thierry Henry era. But that's what you got, a player that went through different eras of the club, different people in charge, and he was one of the constant. The team was either built around him or built to better support him, but he was your go-to guy. And yes, you could argue that it would have been the best time right now to move on anyways. Downward spiral of effectiveness that was already started. It's already started. The dividend that is going down, basically. Your return on investment is a bit lower now, but you need to pay him for what he did for you. So in a salary cap world, and even though he's not included in salary cap as a designated player, you do have to pay him. And that money does come from somewhere. It is an expense, and maybe it is time now, like the Montreal is doing, to do so. But just to confirm and to put some facts out there, it is not a transfer. It is a resiliation of contract as of now. We'll see if there's more down the road. They found ways to agree on all the terms for now. And it's a bit different than a transfer would be, or a loan or whatever. We'll see if there's any return on players, or if the money will ever be public, or maybe it'll never be. Who knows? But that's the official announcement by the Impact late yesterday, was that is a termination of contract for Nacho Piatti and the Impact.
He could have walked for free in the summer, so the value would not have been as significant as maybe people would like. But nonetheless, you know, it's good that you make these agreements, because ultimately you don't want to hold a guy hostage if he does truly want to get back with his family. Because it's only going to hurt you down the line. And I think we've covered that in the past at length. Let's go broad on Montreal for a second here. Obviously, Montreal, in many ways, is a city that is dominated by a single sports team. So when you're doing comparisons across sports, it's not really fair, because it's how can you compete with the Habs, right? But in a general, was he as appreciated as he should have been in the city of Montreal overall?
Depending of where you get your news, where you watch your stuff, if you're a podcast consumer, yes and no. It was all about how you actually, how you covered the team, or how you follow the team, I should say. In the community, in the Montreal Impact supporters and fans and journalistic and soccer community, he was. But again, there was a certain, I don't think, my father, I sometimes use my own parents as a barometer of if they know things in my, like, to know if I'm too deep in the bubble or not. I reach out of the bubble sometimes, and I wonder. And Nacho Piatti was a known figure in the mainstream sports fan of Montreal. Is he known and big enough that people will be like, I know he scored this amount of goals and whatever, and that's his records? Maybe not. Like, he wasn't as necessarily transcendent to a sport, like, example, like a figure of Maurice Richard or Guy Lafleur or Jean Béliveau. But you know, you'll never get these transcending stars anymore, because there's more than two places to get your TV news and channels, right? If there's only one or two places to go get your stuff, get what? Everyone's watching the same damn thing, and everyone thinks, like, the public consciousness becomes very narrow, and that becomes a very big figure, like the Maurice Rocket Richard, and then becomes part of the culture. Yes, in the culture of soccer in in Montreal, Nacho Piatti's a big figure. Did he transcend the soccer community, and will he deservedly have a name, a street name after him? Like, that's another step that I don't think he has broken into, but I don't think anyone is broken into in the near future in any sports team, in maybe Canada for sure. Even outside of Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby, who's the other superstar in sports, is going to get a street name after him. That's what I'm saying. But Nacho Piatti didn't get there, but he got maybe as far as he can as a sports superstar in today's landscape, where soccer is not always on television. Yes, the Montreal Impact game are on regular cable television, but it's not like you have 2 hours pre-game, post-game show on 5 different networks with everyone talking about your damn thing. And even if it's not sports channels, talk about regular channels. So, yeah, he did not become a transcendent figure in more than just sports, but in the sports world, he was very well known.
Fair enough. I am anticipating that Pascal Siakam is going to have the entire city named after him if he keeps going on the trajectory that it is in Toronto, but that's a different sport, 15 in a row.
Sure, whatever.
Before we end with some positive thoughts, let's look a little bit right now at what this means for the Impact right now. What does this mean for the Impact right now? Is this something that's going to really devastate their start of the season, or were they prepared for it?
I think they kind of expected it for sure. And what is it going to really change? With Piatti, it was just going to mask maybe your deficiencies. So, Piatti being gone, you're going to put other Lapalainen, it's going to get more playing time. You're going to get the Romel Kyoto some more playing time. They'll share the time together and see who does best as a left midfielder, maybe in a 4-3-3, depending on how Thierry Henry decides to play his team during the regular season. Is non-motivation to be here heading into the Champions League on February 19th? What else could you do? Doesn't want to be there, doesn't want to be there. You got to do what you got to do. And he was never really truly in the plans. Why would Montreal trade to get a left midfielder if they knew Piatti was going to be their favorite player for that position? Like, they had Lapalainen too, playing the same position. And they have other players that could maybe play there too. So, yeah, if you look at, with hindsight, the few roster movement the Impact did since last November, they kind of did them to address directly Nacho Piatti's minutes in Major League Soccer. Yeah, you cannot change the stardom. You cannot replace the celebrity aspect of Nacho Piatti with the club and your face. But if you look at pretty much all the promotional marketing materials for the Impact, digitally especially, since the beginning of the year, trying to sell tickets and the Champions League, Nacho Piatti is nowhere to be found. And that is not a coincidence. So yes, it wasn't the plans for Montreal to move on. But it was all power plays on both sides. It was negotiations. It was trying to be the most you can do. And it was basically a negotiation and a discussion at a negotiating table that did not go well. People trying to play their cards, play their bluffs. And at the end of the day, everyone went back to the table, be like, okay, let's just figure out a way to settle this correctly.
I'm assuming Piat is the face of the Impact now, without a question.
Bojan also, a lot. Bojan is the player who went to the MLS Media Day a couple of weeks ago in LA. Former Barcelona player is, I would say, even though he's not a DP, or maybe he's a DP for this year, I think, and wasn't for last year. Him and Safir Tider are the international face, I would say, of the Montreal Impact. Locally, to a point, it is Samuel Piat, but Bojan has been predominantly featured by the Impact.
All right. We have 5 minutes left, so we might as well just entirely focus this rest of the show on Piat. For our listeners, this is a major news story. We will break down.
We can do it on Piat, but Piatti especially, we can do it also.
Yeah. Oh, did I say Piat? Sorry,
yeah, that's Piatti. Fine. I would have let it go, but you know, it is Piatti, and
thankfully I won't have that error to make anymore because they are very similar. My spell check would flip between them all the time on my phone.
Same. I would write that time. I would always write it, and you know, it was always going to change it. But you know, I'm just going to say something, Dwayne.
Sure.
One of the moments that I remembered, and I was trying since last night, and I've been thinking about this for a week, and I've been thinking, what are the moments that I remember of Nacho Piatti? And, you know, the hat tricks, the braces, the great goals, the great assists, the great curlers to the left far post. They're all like, yeah, I know. They all blend in also. Which of them really takes the cake? To me, that's not what it is. To me, that's not what I remember of Nacho Piatti. And I'll tell you why. What I remember of Nacho Piatti is going to Chicago in 2017. It's on my way back to Chicago in 2017. I'm waiting. You know, I'm waiting to board the plane. And actually, the day before that was the game, right? The All-Star game. And during the day, I was walking downtown Chicago. I was just crossing the Chicago River, going to the north side and looking at the thing. And I was looking at the big, shiny Trump Tower that looks like someone built it because, you know, trying to overcompensate. So I was just walking down Chicago and I was looking and I see a kid with a nice Piatti jersey. Turns out it was Gabby Piatti, Nacho's son. And he was with a friend of Nacho. And I was like, oh, wow. And just met, like, say hello. Like, yeah, I'm here from Montreal to cover Nacho at the All-Star game. And I'm looking forward to go to Soldier Field tonight. And like, me, us too. Like, oh, we're just talking a bit, take a couple pictures. And we'll just continue on our merry way. And it was cool. But the next day, I'm waiting for my flight to go back to, actually to go back to Toronto and then to Montreal, because direct flights, I guess, are tough from Montreal to go to Chicago. So I'm there waiting, and like, I'm not in first class. I'm waiting like with the regular peasants.
Out of class.
Yeah. I'm with the peasants waiting for my flight, and turn around. The teenager I saw the day before, Gabby, is there with his father, with Nacho Piatti. Like, hey. And of course, he wouldn't know my name if he had to pick me out, but he knew he talked to me before because I was there and I faced the scrum most games in Montreal. So he's like, how was you there? Did you enjoy the game? Did you like things? Like, yeah. He was sitting behind me, in the plane, right? So we turned around, talked a few times, talked about his soccer with his son and what he liked about soccer, and talked about his dad. So that's what I remember of Nacho Piatti. a guy that's just a guy. And that's a compliment in my book. Someone who, yes, of course, when he had to negotiate sometimes publicly with the movement on the ears and get more money. And when you're positioned to set your family up for success in a way that he was, you're going to take it. You're going to do it. And sometimes you have to play hardball in negotiations. And it's unfortunate that it ends the way it did. It's unfortunate that when he left the pitch, replaced by Shamit Shaum, I guess Shamit Shaum is the official legend replacement in Montreal. He's the one who took over Patrice Bernier's last game also, but substituted in for Patrice Bernier. Same for Nacho Piatti last game. But what I mean is, it's a shame that that moment wasn't official. But with hindsight, it was. With hindsight, Nacho Piatti was put and celebrated on his teammates' arms. Everyone gave him a round of applause. He was happy. He was leaving on his own terms. And that's what he did. He came on his terms. He left on his terms, for better or worse. But it's a shame that the fans didn't have a closure moment. And even as early as last Friday, when the Impact presented their 2020 roster, he was presented. He was included in that roster. And we all know that he wasn't necessarily in the plans, but it was all part of that hardball negotiations in my mind. And it's a shame that even at that moment, the fans did not have a chance to send Nacho their love.
Fair enough. And hopefully maybe in the summer, there might be an opportunity to bring him back for a game. And you would hope that that would happen, to at least have him step out onto the field and give a wave at some point, or maybe if it's not this year, then next year. Kevin, look, obviously Nacho Piatti played a major role in the Toronto-Montreal rivalry over the years. And I think that the respect this player has can be summed up, and I hope I'm not betraying any confidence here, but I'm in a group chat of a supporters. It's a supporters group chat. And when the news became official last night, the response was nearly universal. It's like, that's too bad. He was a class act. He was a class player. We'll miss watching him, but thank God he won't be trying to score against us anymore. And I think that that is a tip of the hat from your rivals when that happens.
What else could you ask for? It's the best. Outside of even maybe insults, which would have proven how people would actually see him, because, man, he's scoring against us once again. Let's not forget the great moment. It's unfortunate, too, that the only trophies that he actually won in his time with the Montreal Impact, well, it's not unfortunate. It's good for us. It's the Rogers Cup, Canadian Championship in 2019. The George Gross Memorial Trophy, Dwayne, is also a trophy that Nacho Piatti won as the 2019 Canadian Championship MVP. He won a few Saputo trophies as best player MVP for the Montreal Impact. 3 participation at the All-Star Game, 2016, 17, and 18. Yeah, a good, of course, runners-up in the CONCACAF Champions League in 2015. It's unfortunate, no trophies for his team outside of the Canadian Championship, but they got close a couple times. Eastern Conference Final, let's not forget, 2016. What a home and away series this was. And Nacho Piatti was a big player, one of the big reasons why this was as amazing as it was. Same for the CONCACAF Champions League run. If it wasn't for Nacho Piatti, the Impact would not have made the final of that tournament. And that's where the legend of Nacho began. Like, he was a good player before that, but the legend started in the CONCACAF Champions League. So those are the fesaya. Those are the accomplishments. That's what I remember from Nacho. And also, his human side. He was human. He had great days. And like every one of us, sometimes he had bad days. But he was a real human, and I appreciated the few times that I had to talk to him. And he was a man that loves to play soccer. Not a superstar, a talented player. In my mind, that's how he sees himself. And that's how we should all see ourselves. Yeah, I like Nacho, and he had a good time in Montreal.
He did indeed, and the league was better for having him on it. Kevin, we'll be back tomorrow. Alicia Rodriguez is going to join us in the morning. We'll talk about the Walker Zimmerman trade, LAFC's preparation for the CCL. We have some great guests. We're going to talk about the Nashville situation back to on Friday. We'll have a guest on for that. Drake's going to join us again. Not that Drake, the other Drake. We'll be talking about Ottawa and Atletico. They're joining the CAN-PL on a special show a little bit later on in the afternoon. But as always, Kevin, I'm going to throw to you to close the show.
You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larmé, and this show at Soccer Today SBN. We're going to be live later today, right after the press conference of Ottawa Canadian Premier League on One Soccer. We'll be live on our social media platforms to talk about Ottawa joining the Canadian Premier League. We'll have more details, and it'll be fun to talk to you about the return of soccer in the nation's capital. And thankfully, soccer did not leave the nation's capital for long. On that note, we'll be back tomorrow for Soccer Today. And until then, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.